Welcome to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefkoe's weekly podcast. Discover how you can transform the quality of your life. Find out simple ways to change and make that change last. Learn how to eliminate limiting beliefs. Discover how to become the person you've always wanted to be and live the life you've always wanted to live. Each week, one of the keys to change is handed to you. This is Recreate Your Life with your host, Morty Lefkoe.
Hi, this is Morty Lefkoe with podcast number 97. It's March 27th, 2012, and today's topic, why some get angry and others fear it. The first time I really allowed myself to experience my anger, I fainted. I was about 36 and had successfully suppressed my anger since childhood. And there I was in a group therapy session, hitting a mat with a stick with foam wrapped around it, screaming, "Mom, I'm really angry at you." When I started the exercise, I was only mouthing empty words. But then at some point, the words became real and the anger surfaced. It terrified me so much that I literally passed out on the mat. I fainted the next couple of times I tried that exercise, but eventually I was able to experience anger toward my mother that I had never allowed myself to experience, and I was able to remain in an upright position. Although there probably aren't many people who first experienced their anger in exactly the same way I did, there are millions who are terrified of experiencing their own anger or being in the presence of the anger of others. Many people get in touch with that anger in therapy or some personal growth course, and millions never do. In addition to the fact that suppressing your anger is suppressing a part of yourself, in other words, having a part of yourself be unknown to you, suppressed anger has been implicated in serious illnesses, especially heart diseases. If you want to be able to experience your own anger without fear, and if you want to discover why the anger of others can be so scary, read on and let me explain. The primary source of our fear of anger is four specific beliefs and two conditionings. The beliefs are, confrontation is dangerous. If I'm angry, I'll lose control. If I express anger, I'll lose love. Anger is dangerous. And the conditionings are fear associated with anger and fear associated with confrontation. There can be several other relevant beliefs and conditionings, but it's my experience that when these six have been eliminated, much of the fear we have of our own anger and the anger of others will be eliminated. The source of these six beliefs and conditionings is almost always a childhood where one or both parents frequently displayed extreme anger. I'll explain why some people frequently express anger in a minute. If we're terrified by the anger of our parents as a child, the typical reaction is the six beliefs and conditionings I just listed. The group therapy I described helped me get in touch with my anger and allowed me to experience it instead of suppress it so totally that I didn't even know I was feeling it. But my fear of anger did not disappear totally until I eliminated the six beliefs and conditionings many years later. Now, what about people who aren't afraid of anger, but who themselves are angry a lot and express that anger as verbal or physical abuse? What's the source of that? Why people get angry easily. Kids want affection, attention, and acknowledgement. When they repeatedly can't get what they want, they're likely to feel powerless. Also frequently being told, "just do it because I said so," or "because I'm the parent," can produce the same feeling. That leads to the belief, "I'm powerless." This is a basic self-esteem belief that makes us feel out of control and insecure. Because if we're powerless, then we don't have the ability to do what we think needs to be done. In other words, on a subconscious level, we know our survival is always at stake. When we form such a belief as a child, we need to find some way to deal with the ever-present anxiety it produces. As I explained in an earlier blog post, when we form a negative self-esteem belief as a child, we need to develop some strategy to deal with it. For example, if we conclude I'm not good enough or important, the most common survival strategy is the belief, what makes me good enough and important is having people think well of me. And the most frequently formed survival strategy when one concludes I'm powerless is, the way to be in control is to have everything be exactly the way I want it to be. Another common way is, the way to have power is to dominate others. Think about this for a moment. Imagine you needed to have everything be exactly the way you wanted in order to feel in control. In such a situation, if things weren't exactly the way you wanted them to be, or if someone didn't listen to you, you'd feel out of control. That would mean to you that you were powerless, which would lead to a profound anxiety. What would happen when someone or something kept you from having things the way you wanted them to be and, quote, made you feel powerless? You'd feel lots of anger, probably rage. You'd be angry with whomever or whatever you feel is making you feel powerless. And if it's a child or spouse, the rage can easily turn into verbal or physical abuse. By the way, this explains people like O.J. Simpson. If you form the belief I'm powerless and don't ever form the survival strategy belief, instead of exploding in anger, you're likely to be a typical victim. You'll always be talking about how people and events are doing it to me, and you'll allow people to take advantage of you. Based on over 25 years of experience, I'm now fairly certain that underneath all anger is a sense of powerlessness, because if you could do something about the situation, you wouldn't feel angry. And if the two beliefs I mentioned above were eliminated, a large part of one's anger would be dissipated. It's amazing to think that merely getting rid of a few beliefs and conditionings could minimize one of the major sources of heart disease, and getting rid of a few more could halt the epidemic of child and spouse abuse. Just one more example of the power of beliefs in our lives. Please leave your comments and questions about today's post on the post itself at MortyLefko.com. I read all posts and answer as many as I can. And if you found this post useful, please tell your friends and followers by using the social media buttons at the top of the post, again at MortyLefko.com. If you haven't yet eliminated at least one of your limiting self-esteem beliefs using the Lefko Belief Process, please go to RecreateYourLife.com, where you can eliminate one negative belief free. And for information about eliminating 23 of the most common limiting beliefs and conditionings, which cause 8 of the most common problems in our lives, including a lack of confidence, and get a separate video of the Who Am I Really process, please check out recreateyourlife.com/natural confidence. Have a great week. I will see you next week with the next podcast.
You've been listening to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefko's podcast. Subscribe at iTunes or sign up at MortyLefko.com to receive each week's podcast, where you can leave comments about these podcasts. To eliminate one limiting belief free, go to RecreateYourLifeFree.com. And to have your questions answered about how to live your best life, join us on our Facebook page, Recreate Your Life.